Now, you guys are playing the National Saloon during Stampede. I think it's on July the 5th. I mean, you've played Calgary dozens of times over your career, which has spanned, I think it's, what, 43 years now and counting. What is it that keeps you going? I mean, what's been the secret to this band's longevity over the years?
Well, you know, we're all pretty good friends. I mean, you know, I think when you hop in a van in your 20s and you go through all of that, you know, sleeping on floors, sleeping in the van, and you kind of go around the block or around the country and the States a few times, if you're still friends after that, it's a pretty good recipe for continuing on. So, you know, that's one thing. Another thing is we keep being creative, so we like doing that, and we really get into playing together. It's just fun.
Where did the name 5440 come from?
The name comes from history. It's actually a line of latitude, 54 degrees and 40 minutes, which puts you up about just, I'm thinking, north of Smithers. So it's the tip of the Alaska border, essentially. And what happened is back in the 1840s, a guy running for president named James Polk in Washington needed a campaign issue. And out west here, there was a dispute over the border, Canadian-American border. It was called British North America at the time, and it was called the Oregon Territories in the American part. And where we live on the coast, there's all the islands, the San Juan Islands and the Gulf Islands. And so it was disputed over, long stories, but they wanted to raise the border to the tip of Alaska for all of Western Canada. The United States did. And James Polk ran on a campaign called 5440 or Fight or 5440 or Bust. And he won the election, but then he realized that the British had all these troops and a railway already here. So he settled on the 49th parallel. Now, why we call that name is when Brad and I started it in high school, he lived all over the States. He lived in San Francisco, New Orleans, Cleveland, and I lived all over Canada. My dad worked for the federal government, and we met right on the border in a little town called Tawasin, 49th parallel, in history class, where we learned all about that stuff. So when we decided to name our band, it was going to be 5440 or Bridgeview Dogs, because we rehearsed underneath a bridge.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's just a really amazing and mildly elaborate story. So I just really appreciate you explaining that, because that's, I mean, you know, I interview a lot of bands, and sometimes the questions about the band names are nowhere near as much thought put into them as this one. So yes.
Thank you. No, it's funny. I went to New Orleans, this is years ago, and there's a museum there, the Civil War Museum. And he goes, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, you know, Vancouver Island." He goes, "Ah, the pig war. That's my favorite war, is the one that was never fought." And he knew all about it. And what it was some British sailors went to one of the San Juan Islands, one of the American islands off the coast here, and grabbed some pigs to feed them. And the farmer said, "I'm not British, I'm American." And that's how the brouhaha all started.
Now I'm going to pick on you a little bit here for this one, test your brain.
Sure.
I want to go back to the beginning a little bit if we can. I want to talk a little bit and get from you a sense of, you know, how this band came together way back in the 80s, there, early 80s.
So Brad Merritt, he's a bass player. He and I were in grade 11 and 12 together. And, you know, we quickly became fast friends over basically music. You know, we were kind of at that time felt we were unique in the music that we liked. And I went off to, after high school, to Boston, to the Berklee College of Music. And he went off, you know, going to college and working. And then this whole thing, new wave and punk, started to break out. And when I was in Boston, I wasn't really getting into it. And he wrote me actually a letter that said, "Hey, there's a real scene here in Vancouver, and you should come back, and we could just start a band." And that's all I needed to read. And I came back, and we started hammering away in my parents' garage and got a drummer. And we started out as a three-piece and, you know, picked up hall gigs and then met some friends that came up to Vancouver at a gig from Seattle, and they brought us down, and then just sort of bada bing, bada boom, and everything else. You know, we always had a gig in front of us, really, since that day.
Steady work for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, for sure. No,
I wasn't paid much until about 7-8 years in, but yeah, steady gigs anyway.
So I'm curious. I mean, we know that, you know, tons of people listen to 5440, but I'm really curious, what kind of music does Neil Osborne listen to?
I listen to all kinds of things. You know, I certainly have a palate for anything from the 60s and 70s in terms of the rock, you know, pop rock, folk rock genre. But also, you know, like a guy like Michael Kiwanuka, who's a British soul singer, guitar player on the scene. I like some of the newer stuff. And then I get like a lot of jazz, like Chet Baker and whatnot. So whatever, you know, kind of tickles my fancy. I'll watch a show just like anybody on Netflix or whatever, and I'll hear a song and I'll Shazam it. Like, that's really good. I want to know what that is. And, you know, there's all kinds of music out there. So.
Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, it's an eclectic mix. And obviously you draw inspiration from all kinds of things. I mean, music, you know, reinvents itself all the time, doesn't it? So it probably wafts into your songwriting.
Weirdly, it's, you know, in North America, or whatever, I guess Western music, there's 12 notes, and it's amazing how many combinations of those 12 notes that can come up with new vibes and new songs and ideas.
I want to talk about one of your classic albums. Of course, 86 is the Green Album. Now, I understand that you've recently reissued that. I mean, what can you tell us, you know, what fans can expect from that?
Well, that was a nice little package. I can't remember the company that approached us to do it, and they were asking if we were interested in doing it, and I got together with the artist who repackaged it, and it was really neat going through all the stuff. So it's a reissue of the album. I think it's on a colored vinyl, and it's been remastered, and it's a gatefold, and it's got pictures, an old a copy of an old poster, and a postcard. And then along with it, you get some a single, 7-inch single, and then you get access to some online stuff, including the demos of all the songs and some demos that didn't make some songs that didn't make the record. So it's kind of a nice complete package if you're really into that record, for sure.
I got to ask about your newest album. I understand that, you know, each song is pretty much about a real person. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
These songs came when we were sort of stuck in COVID, mm-hmm. and we would get together. We still do, actually, on a Zoom every Thursday. And initially, it's just everybody's got a cocktail in their hand, and how's it going over there? You know, it's good. And how's your knee? How's your hip? Because we're that age,
boy.
You know. And then we just started laughing about things that happened in the past and stories. And then we have all these, you know, terms in the band, like if it's not fun, you get two choices, it's fun or funny, you know, or same guy, different body, or any of these other things that are, you know, our own language, our own code, I guess, backstage kind of code. And the band has a drink called Vodka Surprise. And I just thought, why don't we just like rattle these off into songs and get everybody in into the culture of the band and what, you know, how we think and how we speak a little bit and sort of our sense of humor. So, you know, out comes the album, and it's called West Coast Band. It's about us. It's about, you know, and there's about a song for every person in the band, a song about the crew, a song about little stories that happened over the years, you know, some highlights, and just kind of a fun rock record, actually.
After being together for as long as you guys have on, you know, and on the road and so much traveling the world and that sort of thing, when you look back at your career so far, I'm going to say so far because you're not done, what moments stand out to you?
Well, there's a few. you know, certainly the first gig that we did, a Small Buddha Cabaret, New Year's Eve 1980, was a landmark show. Definitely in Calgary when we opened for the Stones at Saddle Dome.
Yes.
And we got to meet them. And Ronnie Wood the night before took us out for drinks and played pool. Wow. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then playing Moscow. We played Moscow. I saw the last communist May Day parade. We were there and part of a cultural exchange. And I guess it would have been 1988. Right before the wall came down and all that. So that was weird and a highlight, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of little things like that.
What does the future of Neil Osborne and 5440 hold? I mean, you guys are, from what I saw, busy on the road through, I think it was October. But beyond that, I mean, are we going to get more music? Anything you could talk about? Are you, you know, have you thought about when you're going to, what's the word I'm looking for? Wrap this up? Or you just
hang them up?
Yeah, yeah. Do you just keep going until you...
Well, it's funny, and this is an absolutely true story. When Brad and I started, we said that, and then, you know, a couple of years in, he said, when the Rolling Stones hang them up, that's our 20-year warning, because we pretty much started 20 years after they did, and they're still going. Mick, he's just crazy. He's crazy. I follow him on Instagram, and he's, you know, he's always jogging and doing all this stuff, and you should see him running on stage and you know, the gig from a couple of days ago. It's just like, holy, and he's 80. Yeah. Like, holy smokes. Okay. Yeah. So we picked a good one to model ourselves as far as longevity. We'll see if we can get there. We're actually, I've just been working on a new song. We're all getting together. I have a home studio here on the island, and we're all getting together. We have a 3-day break at the end of July, and going to hammer some stuff out. We're trying new stuff in soundcheck. So yeah, we've got a new album. It'll be out next year. It's in the writing stages now. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, and we'll see you here during Stampede on July the 5th. Well, Neil, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I've been a fan for longer than I can really recall. It's been ages and ages and ages, which, as you well know, I think the first time I ever saw you was like 1990, I think it was. There was a place in Saskatoon called Penguin Village, and you guys did this festival with, you guys, Vogan?
Oh, I remember that gig.
Yeah, Spirit of the West and The Hip, and it was, it blew us away. I mean, and you know, all three of you.
That was
sure.
A wild night. Yeah. That was a wild night.
It was like stormy.
A big storm came.
Yeah, that's right.
Holy yeah.
Cow. Yeah, I forgot about that. We were in this mud volleyball tournament there, and we did terrible, but you guys were that. You guys, the festival was the highlight, so thank you for that.
yeah, that's funny that you mentioned. I mean, like, you know what? We've done, I don't know how many gigs, like, you know, thousands. And
yeah.
That one I remember quite well, actually, because the bands were great, and the weather was just so dramatic. Yeah. It was crazy.
I forgot about that until you mentioned that. But good on you for remembering that. So, you're better than doing better than him.
Don't remember them all, that's for sure.
Oh, geez, no kidding. Well, thank you, Neil. Like I said, I appreciate it, and we'll look for you when you're out here at the National Saloon, all right?
Oh, it'll be a fun time. Yeah.
You betcha.
All right, thank you.